In Vienna's maternity ward in 2010, as my son struggled through a difficult birth, the world was experiencing its own painful transition. The financial crisis had recently wiped out vast wealth, with recovery favoring elites. Yet beneath this apparent stability, a dangerous shift was underway, one that would transform democracies worldwide within just 6 years. Timothy Snyder's The Road to Unfreedom charts how Russia pioneered a new form of politics that spread like a virus to Europe and America. What makes this work so compelling is how it connects seemingly disparate events, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, Brexit, Trump's election, into a coherent narrative about democracy's vulnerability. These weren't isolated incidents, but manifestations of a deliberate strategy to undermine democratic institutions and factual reality itself. The book reveals two competing worldviews: the politics of inevitability, the comforting post-Cold War belief that history moves naturally toward liberal democracy and free markets, and the politics of eternity, a cyclical view where nations are portrayed as forever innocent, forever victimized by external enemies. When inevitability's promises fail, eternity fills the void, sacrificing progress for an endless return to a mythical past. Russia reached eternity first, but other nations have followed, abandoning factual reality for comforting fictions that justify power and privilege. At the heart of Putin's regime lies a fatal contradiction, a system that cannot survive its creator. By embracing fascist philosopher Ivan Ilyin as his intellectual guide, Putin trapped Russia in a dilemma where no one can improve Russia during his life, nor predict what follows his death. Ilyin's totalitarian philosophy held that God's totality before creation was the only good, while individual existence represented evil. "Evil begins where the person begins," he wrote. His solution was a redeemer figure who would restore divine totality through bloodshed. This philosophy serves kleptocratic regimes by justifying oligarchic rule. Without law, social advancement becomes impossible, and governance devolves into crisis and spectacle. For Russian oligarchs who had amassed wealth beyond the law, Ilyin's thinking provided intellectual cover. Putin's 1999 rise through Operation Successor came when oligarchs around an ailing Yeltsin needed someone to protect their interests. The September apartment bombings justified the Second Chechen War, boosting his popularity and securing his presidency. But by manipulating elections and term limits, Putin created a succession crisis that threatens his entire system. After empire, European states faced a key question: how to survive without vast territories. European integration seemed the answer until 2013, when Russia proposed Eurasia, empire for itself, nation-states for others. This ignored history's lesson that nation-states proved unworkable in Europe. Major European powers were empires before World War II, then participants in integration after. The process began in 1951 with the European Coal and Steel Community, expanding as colonial empires dissolved. The EU matched empire in economic scale, but operated on equality rather than inequality. By 2013, its economy dwarfed Russia's eightfold, offering an alternative to American, Russian, and Chinese models. Russian leaders supported European integration until 2012. After failing to establish stable succession and rule of law, Putin reframed success through cultural and sexual values rather than prosperity and freedom. While the EU spread rule of law through integration, Putin rejected a European Russia, embracing proisvol, arbitrariness, as patriotic virtue. Putin chose empire over integration, establishing the Eurasian Customs Union with Belarus and Kazakhstan in 2010. His proposed Eurasian Union offered an alternative to the EU, one without democratic requirements, rule of law, or restrictions on authoritarian power. When Ukrainian President Yanukovych refused to sign an EU agreement in November 2013, student protests at Kyiv's Maidan Square began. After police violence against protesters, the movement transformed from pro-European demonstrations into a broader fight for dignity. The Maidan exemplified civil society's potential where government failed. Protesters created non-hierarchical networks of libraries, security, aid, and anti-propaganda efforts based on the principle that freedom was responsibility. The movement thrived on remarkable generosity. Citizens, including pensioners, donated generously to support the cause. Russia responded first with propaganda, portraying Ukraine's EU aspirations as LGBT domination. When this failed, Moscow abandoned Yanukovych and shifted to a more aggressive strategy, creating chaos while seizing Ukrainian territory. Russia pioneered warfare where truth became the first casualty. As Russia's international news coordinator Dmitry Kiselev stated, information war is now the main type of war. Their propaganda operated by denying facts while claiming innocence. During Putin's 2014 Ukraine invasion, he claimed Russian troops in Crimea were locals who purchased their uniforms at local stores. This obvious lie wasn't meant to deceive Ukrainians, but to create complicity with Russians who chose to believe despite knowing better. As Charles Clover observed, lies unite rather than divide Russia's political class. After Malaysia Airlines Flight 17's downing, Russian media invented multiple contradictory stories rather than denying events outright. Though logically incompatible, these fictions successfully fragmented the truth. By September 2014, 86% of Russians blamed Ukraine for the disaster. This template for political warfare would later spread to Western democracies, flooding information channels with contradictory claims to paralyze critical thinking and erode trust in all information sources. Vladimir Putin's most effective campaign was a cyber war against the United States, exploiting American inequality and technological vulnerabilities through social media platforms where citizens got their information. Russian propaganda reached most American voters through 5.8 million fake Facebook accounts, 470 sites generating billions of shares, and thousands of targeted advertisements. Their strategic email hacks of the Democratic National Committee created division between Clinton and Sanders supporters, while the timely release of Podesta's emails diverted attention from Trump scandals. America's electoral system presented exploitable weaknesses. The Electoral College allowed victories without popular vote majorities, while gerrymandering created disproportionate representation. Moscow viewed these not as traditions, but vulnerabilities. Russian operatives weaponized American racial tensions by creating inflammatory content around police killings, armed confrontations, and racial violence. They used fake activist accounts to spread divisive messages and white supremacist rhetoric. As inheritors of a declining order, we must reject myths of inevitability that paralyze action. Truth is foundational. Without it, we cannot distinguish between what feels right and what is right. Democracy requires equal voting power, unaffected by wealth, race, or geography. While fascism insists a leader's enemy must be everyone's enemy, integration acknowledges our interconnectedness. Democracy's threats are real, but not predetermined. Its institutions need constant maintenance. Understanding how inequality undermines democratic participation enables corrective action. By embracing truth, supporting institutions, and addressing inequality, we can move beyond cycles of victimhood and shape a different future.